Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for an opportunity to proclaim your word and your truth to us. That, Lord, indeed, even as we're in this period of Lent, in this period of just before Easter, as we reflect on your love, that you sent your only Son to die for us. And he is a reflection of your love. And indeed, you say, if you who gave your only Son, how much more will you deny, or will you fail, will you give us everything that we need? And Father, I thank you that your children do not lack, that your children are blessed, your children are abundantly provided, that jobs are open for them, that favor is in their portion, that they shall see increase in their lives, and that, Lord, you have the final say. And I pray against sickness. I pray for health in their bodies, health in their bones, health in their flesh. I thank you that, Lord, you are making a difference in their lives, and that they're going to see your blessing. We thank you for your word, even as you speak to us this morning, that, Lord, we shall be blessed and we shall hear your truth. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. So today, by the grace of God, we are going to tackle a topic that we call the death of Christ, or the death of Jesus Christ. And anytime we come to the period of Easter, yes, so we can see, for those who have no idea, the person on the cross, in the middle of the cross, that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is the Son of God, and he came as a man. He came as a human being. God came in the form of flesh, in the form of you and me, and he did not have any sin in him. Now, he was crucified unjustly, and by him hanging on the cross, he was made sin for you and me, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, the picture there shows us that he was hanging between two thieves. Huh? Now, you can see there are some Roman soldiers under there from the picture. It tells you that this was a punishment that was done by the Roman soldiers. Okay? And I wanted us to understand that there was something called crucifixion, and that's why I was showing the picture. And one of the greatest punishments, you know nowadays, if you kill someone, there's something called capital punishment. Capital punishment means the maximum punishment for the most biggest sin or the biggest mistake. Now, for example, if you kill someone, you'll be given capital punishment. What is a capital punishment? You'll be told either you'll be hanged, they will either hang you, or they will kill you with lethal injection, or they will shoot you before firing squad, or they'll give you life in prison, right? So that is capital punishment. Now, in the time of the Romans, capital punishment was reserved for the worst criminals. And every year, the pilot would have to kill one prisoner. And, okay, he will kill many prisoners and release one. So, in that time, it was common to find people being crucified by the Romans. Now, the Romans, and this is something that was common among the Romans, the Persians, the Carthaginians, and the Greeks. Now, this is something that happened many kingdoms after, okay? And it's very important for us to know. Now, number two, about death by crucifixion, it was a public execution, and as I've said, it was reserved for the worst criminals, and it was supposed to deter others from doing similar crimes. It was also an extremely painful process. Now, how many of us have felt pain? Maybe you have been sick, you have felt pain, you have struggled with pain. What is the worst pain you have ever had? For me, I think the worst pain I've ever had is a toothache. And for sure, it was painful. It was like someone was hitting my head with a hammer. Ooh. Ooh. Now, as I was thinking of that pain, God spoke to my heart that, Jesus' pain that he experienced on the cross was worse than that. It was far much more than that pain you think you have ever experienced. The pain that Jesus experienced on the cross was worse than that. Now, if you imagine crucifixion, you are nailed. You can imagine rusty metals, nails that are reused. You know, they're not even worried about tetanus. They're not thinking about tetanus. In fact, it is not sharp. They're using bolts. And these nails will be nailed on the hands of the criminal, and it has to go through. Now, on one hand, it will be on one side, and on the other hand, it will be on the other side. And then the legs are put together, and the nail goes through both feet, to go through one foot to the other, and till to the wood. Now, don't think that they were looking for nice crosses, eh? You know, at times we think that the cross was some nice wood taken to the carpenter and smoothened, you know, with sandpaper that was very... No, it was just trees. They would just take any tree, the tree as rough as it is, they put it on your back, and the person who was to be crucified has to carry it. Why? Because the person crucified is not crucified in the city. He has to be crucified outside the city. So it is a shameful. So you carry the cross, you're already tired, and then when someone is hanged, ideally some people will even stay on the cross for 3 weeks. Can you imagine? Because when you're hanging there, the way that you die is when your body becomes too heavy. Then you cannot lift yourself to breathe. Now, the only way you lift yourself to breathe, is when you lift your hands through the nails. You pull on the nail that is nailing you, and you push yourself to step on the nails that are in your feet, like you're on your toes, for you to breathe. Now, for you to breathe, you'd have to... Now, those who are very strong, you know, there's a point where the pain goes, so they will just breathe in and continue breathing. They'll pull themselves and continue, and someone can continue being on the cross up to 3 weeks. Now, what the Romans will do to prevent you from staying in the cross indefinitely, they will have to come with metal rods and break your leg. You're on the cross, yes, but they have to come and break your leg. Why were they to break their leg? So that you don't have another leg to lift yourself up to breathe. So, when they will die by asphyxiation, which is lack of oxygen. And also, others will die by shock, which is because of loss of blood. Loss of blood, you get shock. And then also, the most common is also dehydration. You lose water, and that's why Jesus cried, "I thirst." He was dehydrated. That is why he cried, "I thirst." Now, I've said some key words that are there about the death by crucifixion. It is a capital punishment. It's a public execution. It's painful. It's shameful. Why? Because most of the time they were actually crucified naked. They will take off your clothes and crucify you before everyone naked. And beyond that, it was also considered a curse. So the Israelites say that cursed is anyone that was hung on a tree. And the end result of crucifixion is what? Death. No one will survive crucifixion. No one will survive crucifixion. Now, when we think of the death of Christ, we must understand that it was prophesied. Why do I say that? It was written in the scriptures that the Christ who was to come, the Messiah, was going to die horrible death. And we're going to read Isaiah 53 from verse 1 to 7. The Bible says, and we'll read actually the whole chapter, but as we read Isaiah 53, it says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief," familiar with grief. "And we hid a seat were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken by God and afflicted." Verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a shearer before her shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." What was the prophecy of Isaiah? He said that when the Messiah comes, that time when he will be beaten, no one will want to look at him. His face was disfigured. He was slapped. He was beaten. He was spat upon. They had put crowns on his thorns on his head. He was beaten on his back. His back was stripped of flesh and blood. He had, even his own dead body was pierced on the side, and water and blood came out. And the Bible says when men looked at him, they despised him. They rejected him. He was a man of sorrows, and he was familiar with grief. And he was wounded for our transgressions. You know what are transgressions? What are iniquities? Transgressions is where you cross the line. You know where you cross the border of what is right. Iniquity is the sin that you do willingly. You know, there are sins that you do, you know this is wrong, and you do it. And the Bible says, he was beaten for us. He was beaten for our transgression, our mistakes where we missed the mark. He was also bruised for our willing mistakes. And the Bible says the punishment for our peace. Chastisement there is punishment. That means that Jesus was paying for our peace. He was paying for our healing. He was paying for our iniquities. And that is why you have a right to be healed. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. The Bible says the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8 tells us, "He was taken from prison and judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was struck, cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." Verse 9, "And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." The Bible is telling us that it was the will of the Lord that he should suffer and to put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And just let me just jump to verse 11. He says, "He shall see the labor of his souls and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." And this is very important. Christ paid for our justification to be made us righteous before God. And he bore the sins of many. David also prophesied about the Messiah. We have seen Isaiah, and Isaiah actually is one of the major prophets. Why? Because he's one of the messianic prophets. He has the greatest revelations of the Messiah. But David too was a king, he was a leader, he was a musician, but he was also a prophet. Now, when we read Psalms 22, David prophesied what Christ would say on the cross. Now, in Psalms 22, verse 1, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Now, he was singing a psalm. To him, it was a song. It was a prophetic song. But he was speaking of how our Jesus would cry out. And verse 15 of Psalms 22, he said, my strength is dried up like a hot potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Look at how the scriptures already knew how the Messiah would die. He knew that he will be thirsty and his tongue will cling to his jaws or to the pulp of his mouth. He knew that he will be brought to the dust of the dead. He will have to die. He has to be taken to the congregation of the wicked, to the congregation of the dead. That means Christ died. He has to go to hell. And then the Bible says, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Now, David is speaking about crucifixion, which did not exist in their time at that point. But he already has the vision to see that the Messiah is going to die by crucifixion. And this is what we've talked about, that it was a painful death. And he says that, I can count all my bones. Why is it there, all my bones? Why? Because they wanted to break his feet, but Jesus had died. So they did not break his feet. And the Bible says, not a single bone of his was broken. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments, and Jesus' clothes were divided, and they cast lots. And there are other prophecies that we see. In Zechariah chapter 11, verse 13, the Bible says, and the Lord said to me, throw it to the potters, that princely or that significant price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. This is speaking of how Judas will betray the Messiah. He'll use 30 pieces of silver and then he will come and throw it to the house of the Lord. And Zechariah 13 verse 7 says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Psalm 16 verse 10, the Bible says, for you not leave my soul in Sheol, which is in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption or to see decay. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. David was crying out, he was singing, but as he made that psalm, he was speaking of the Messiah. And this was one of the prayers of Jesus, that God, you will not leave me in hell. You will not allow me to see decay or corruption, but you will show me the path of life. Now, Jesus suffered for us. And when we examine how Jesus suffered, we must look at it that Jesus suffered at every level. He suffered physically. He suffered emotionally or mentally. He also suffered spiritually. Now, it's very important to understand that he suffered in these three aspects so that he can also heal us in all these three aspects. That's why he heals us in our bodies. He heals us in our emotions, in our minds, in our mental health. We have the right to be healed. He also heals us spiritually. Why? Because he also suffered in these three aspects. How did Jesus suffer physically? The Bible tells us that the men who had held Jesus, they mocked him, they beat him, and they blindfolded him. And when they struck him on the face and asked him, prophesy, who struck you? Can you imagine? They were beating him. Then they tie his eyes. And then they slap him. They knock. They say, prophesy, you are the Son of God. Tell us who hit you. Then Herod took his men of war and they treated him with contempt. They gave him a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. You can see how they were beating him. And they cried at once, away with this man. Give us Barabbas.
who had been thrown into prison for rebellion, and the men in the city for murder. And Pilate, wishing therefore to release Jesus, called out to them, but they shouted, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus suffered physically. The Bible says, Matthew 27, 29, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him. They took the reed and struck him on the head. I know we've seen how, you know, when people go for strikes and if you are caught by those police, they can beat you. They can beat you on the head. Now, these guys, they were beating this, our innocent Savior and Lord. They hit him on the head and they mocked him and they took off his robe. Yet, his, our Lord and Savior says in Luke 23, verse 34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." They found an African man called Simon from Cyrene. Cyrene was in Africa. And they forced him to carry the cross of Jesus. Why? Jesus was tired carrying his own cross. They forced him to carry the cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, which is the place of the skull, they gave him sour wine mixed with gall. You know, in our bodies there is something called the bile bladder, the bile duct. When you are killing a chicken, there is that green thing that you have to be very careful that it does not enter into the food, because the moment you cut it wrongly, that food is spoiled. Now they are telling you they took the sour wine. And then they took that guy and they mixed it. And then they give him to drink because he is thirsty. And when he had tested it, he will not drink it. They crucified him. They divided his clothes, casting garments. And they put on his head an accusation saying, "This is Jesus Christ, King of the Jews." And John 19 tells us that, verse 28, after Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And the Bible says, now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Our Lord and Savior died on the cross for you and me. Jesus also suffered even beyond when he died. They also wanted to break his legs, but at least they found he had dead. But then the Bible tells us that one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. You know, when God wanted to bring a wife for Adam, he put him to sleep and he cut him on his side. When God wanted to bring the church, which is the bride of Christ, he also had to pierce him on his side. And in the same way, the church came out of Christ. That is why we are his body. And he was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And two prominent people came to bury him. One is Joseph of Arimathea, and also Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the man who came to see him at night, he became a disciple of Jesus, and he also came to bury him. Jesus also suffered emotionally. How did he suffer emotionally? In John chapter 12, verse 27, he said, "Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But this is the very reason I came." He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." He told his friends, "Stay here and pray with me." He was just asking them, "Just pray with me for 1 hour. Just 1 hour." And my soul, emotionally, he was in pain. Why? Because he is going to be separated from the Father. All the sins of the world are going to be put on him. At that point, he is going to become sin itself. The Bible says that he prayed to God, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And I pray that angels will strengthen you today, even in your pain. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then the Bible says, then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. His sweat became like blood. He was so stressed and so emotionally in pain that even his blood capillaries, they burst forth. And what, instead of sweat coming out, it is blood. He was suffered emotionally. He was betrayed by his closest friends. Have you been betrayed by someone? By someone that you love? Jesus too was betrayed. He knows what betrayal is. And he asked Judas, Judas, why are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Some kisses are not loving. They are betrayals. And he told Peter, I assure you today, before the rooster, before the cock crows, you'll have denied me 3 times. And the disciple said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And even all the disciples said, we will never leave him. And the Bible says they ran away. Even one of them ran naked. Then, even while on the cross, one of the criminals who is with him started abusing him. He said, if you are the Christ, you save us. And also save yourselves. The Bible tells us that even in his prayers in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 to 8, that while Jesus was here on earth, he offered up prayers and pleadings with a loud cry. So Jesus used to pray loudly. Eh? So it is okay to pray loudly. Eh? With a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. And even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Jesus also suffered spiritually. He was separated to be from God. And he cries out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was the first time where God would look away from his own son. Why? Because God cannot look at sin. The Bible says that he knew that he will be separated from his father. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Not even to be a sin offering. That means he became sin itself. So it is sin that was hung on that cross. Jesus became sin. And God and sin cannot be together. And that is why Jesus was crying, because he would be spiritually separated from his father. But he had cried, he said, I know you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. We're going to the end. But as we look at the end, I'm going to give us 10 reasons why Jesus had to suffer and die. Why did Jesus have to suffer and die? And yes, there may be many, and you can have even 20, but I try to summarize them and they will only come to 10. Number one, he died to purchase salvation by paying the price for our sins. John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Why was Jesus made sin? Such that in case you sin, and when you sin, and when you fall into sin, you can say, Jesus paid for me. You know, when the devil wants you to be given capital punishment, what is a capital punishment? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And the devil is called the accuser of brethren. In heaven, he was not the accuser. In heaven, he was a worshiper of God. But when he sinned, he was judged. Now, he realized that God, if someone sins, they need to be judged. So every day when you sin, he brings and says, this one needs to be judged. And then God says, okay, but Jesus was innocent. You judged him and you killed him. So the punishment that he wants this one to pay, Jesus has paid for it. That is why the Bible says he paid the price for our salvation. So it doesn't matter what sin you have gone through or you have done in your life, that you think that God cannot forgive. If the final punishment that you need to be suffer for it is death, then you can say that Jesus died for you. He died for your sin. Number two, he died to fulfill the law and to redeem us from its curse. The law, anyone who wants to live by the Ten Commandments will never make it. Because if you try, you will fail. And when you fail in one, you have failed in all. And because no one can fulfill the law, Jesus has to fulfill the law for us. And it becomes a curse for us. Number three is, why did Jesus have to die? He died to reconcile man back to God. The Bible says that sin makes us enemies of God. If you are in sin and you have not come to faith in Jesus, you are an enemy of God. Now, I don't know how you can win if you are an enemy of God. But if you are a friend of God, God will fight for you. God will defend you. God will promote you. God will make a way for you even where there looks to be no way. Why? Because you are a friend of God. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19, and we will share the slides in the WhatsApp group so you get all these verses. It says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. And he has given us the word of reconciliation. That means God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling. That means reuniting us, making us friends of God, and he's not counting our sins against us. What does that mean? That when you come to God and you put your faith in Christ, God does not count your sin against you. Even in heaven when we go and you say, I put my faith in Christ for my sins, God will say, you are righteous and you are holy. Why? Because he cannot count sins against someone to whom it was counted innocently. Because the devil counted sin on Jesus innocently, then we who are guilty can be declared innocent because there is exchange program. So he was holy, we were sinful, we exchanged. He became sinful, we became holy. He was the Son of God, we were sons of the devil. He exchanged, we became sons of God. There is divine exchange that happened at the cross. And he reconciles man to God. Number four, why did Jesus die? He died to bring health and prosperity to man. I tell you, God wants you to prosper. 3 John chapter verse 1, verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. If you look at the scriptures, there is no one who walked with God that stayed poor. Abraham, God blessed him, he was rich. Isaac was rich. Jacob was rich. Solomon was rich. David was rich. Everyone that walked with God, God blessed them. God blessed them. God will bless you. You cannot serve God and you shame him. He lets you to be shamed. I can assure you that the God that we serve loves us so much that even when it looks like it is the end, even when it looks like we have received a letter, even when it looks like we have been kicked out, he is making a better way. He is making a better future. Why? Because he became poor. Can you say exchange? Exchange. He was rich, but he became poor so that he can become rich. Believe it. And you believe it not because of your own righteousness, but because of what Jesus has done. Believe that you can be healed. Believe that you are healed. Not because of your own righteousness, but because Christ paid for it. He says, he who bore our sins in his own body, on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I tell you, God does not give anyone sickness. Never say that this sickness came from God. What we see in the Bible is that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression of the devil. And when Jesus came, he healed it. And the Bible says he healed all. He did not choose some. He healed all who are oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. We have already talked about this before, how Jesus overcame death and the devil for us. And the Bible says, Luke chapter 10 verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. You know, the witchcraft, the wizards, those are the snakes and the scorpions. The Bible says, I have given you authority to trample on them. That means that no one who wants to, whether it's a moon worshiper, whether it's a stargazer, whether it's a white witch or a black witch or a wizard, there is nothing that they can do, whether it is to give you food, sacrifice to idols. There is nothing that they can do. The Bible says, I have given you authority to trample over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is why Jesus died. And he even went to our past. The Bible says, Colossians 2:14, he wiped out every handwriting of requirements, every legality, every generational curse. The Bible says that he nailed it to the cross and he defeated the devil. Jesus, why did Jesus have to suffer and die? He suffered and died in obedience to the Father's will, and that is why he cried, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass. But he says, not my will, but let your will be done. He obeyed the Father. He knew that the Christ had to suffer. And you see, when he tells, he meets disciples on the road to Emmaus, he tells them, then he said to them, O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That means that God had only made one way for him to enter into glory. It is through the cross. The Christ had to suffer. And the Bible says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Lord died so that he can enter into his eternal glory. What is the glory of the Father? The name that is above every other name, that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and on earth must bow down. I tell you, the moment you are told you have something, you need to ask, what is the name of what I have? Is it called chemical X? Is it called cancer grade 5? Does it have a name? When they say it has a name, they say, thank you, because I have a name that is above every other name. Amen. The name of Jesus is higher than any name, scientific. You know, when you tell someone, well, what is the meaning of cancer? We're in the office and you're saying, what is the meaning of cancer? Someone said, death. I laughed. I said, because you don't know. There is a name that is life. That is the name of Jesus. That's why when Mary was saying, I know my brother will resurrect in the day of resurrection, I am the resurrection. You're talking about that day. I am the resurrection and the life. That means that he is higher than death. He is higher than sickness. What is greater than sickness? Death. The biggest problem of man is what? Death. But there's someone who is higher than it. His name is Jesus. And he gave us life. And beyond that, he also died to bring many sons into glory. Can you say, I am called to glory? I am called to glory. And glory is two things. The beauty of God. God has called you to his beauty. That means when you meet a Christian, there is a joy they have. And someone will be like, but you're smiling. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. Even when things are tough, just smile. Why? Because the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God's joy. Just rejoice. Put on some nice songs and sing alone. Dance alone. Even if you don't want people to see you dancing, just close the door. Go to your bedroom. Dance to Jesus. Glory is two things: beauty and also the presence of God. The weight of the glory is the presence of God. God wants you to enter into His glory. And we've done this in Bible study. Number 9, which is almost our second last point, to release the Holy Spirit to us. I tell you, without the Holy Spirit, we are dead. The body without the Spirit is dead. The body without the Spirit is dead. The church without the Holy Spirit is dead. And He says, it is for your advantage that I go. It is for your good. That means the Holy Spirit is your advantage. Why? Because he will tell you, go and say sorry to your wife or to your husband. Otherwise your marriage will be breaking. He will tell you, go and check the email you sent and recall it. Otherwise you are sending the wrong email. He will direct you, don't enter this vehicle, enter the next one. You go ahead, you find that car has entered an accident. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is your advantage. He is the presence of God with you. And He has said, never will I leave you or forsake you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come and leave them. But in the New Covenant, the Holy Spirit said, never will I. He does not leave us. The moment you have accepted Jesus as Lord and your Savior of your life, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside your heart. Now it is your job to obey. Now He's not going to be a demon to control you. He will just guide you. He will tell you that you have not prayed today. You have not read the Bible this month. Yeah, it's 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. Let me not. Yeah, it's 4 days. You have not read the Bible. He will just tell you. When you come to for preaching, He will tell you, by the way, I will say something. You will think I'm talking about you. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking about what is in your heart. Why? Because He is God. He knows all our hearts. He is for our advantage. And lastly, which we have been learning, is that to give us a new covenant with better promises. A new covenant with better promises. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, which is my last verse, Paul got to a point where he said that, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the flesh or in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want this, let it be your meditation. And let us cross this week. Ask yourself, what does it mean when the Bible tells us, I have been crucified with Christ? That means we share. When we take of the communion, we share in His death. We remember His death. And we experience the pain He experienced. We can think of how He suffered. We can think of the pain. We can think of the struggle He went. And the Bible says, because crucifixion ends in death, since he died, we also died. And our old flesh, our sinful flesh died. Our poverty died. Our curses died. Our sicknesses died. They were crucified with Christ. Our sins were crucified with Him. And the Bible says, now it is no longer us that live, but it is Christ that lives. How can Christ be living in you when the Holy Spirit is inside you? Christ lives in you. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, He was limited to one place. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ without limit. He is with us. And He is not far away. He is inside the heart of every believer. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Let us stand, and we're going to take a moment and just reflect on the death of Christ.